Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to the Monday version of feedback, 715-845-2155, if you want to be a part of the show. Today's subject, as we get started off, is Bo Bergdahl. This is a very interesting story, a very complicated story. Apparently, this guy was the last of the American POWs. There are no more POWs being held anywhere in the world, according to certain reports. The problem I have is I'm trying to wrap my head around who is this guy and what the heck was going on. The New York Post has a very interesting article that digs into who he was, what his family life was like, and how he ended up in Afghanistan. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the story, Bergdahl was a sergeant that was taken captive by the Taliban in Afghanistan some 5 years ago and has been captive for all of this time. Apparently, special forces have tried to locate him, have tried to find him. Of course, if they could exact an effective rescue, I'm sure special forces would have. But apparently he was moved around or kept in secret locations, etc., and it was very, very difficult, if not impossible, to isolate him, find him, and rescue him. And because we are in such a very unique battle with the ideological warriors of terrorism, we're not really fighting Afghanistan. We are fighting the Taliban. We are fighting Al-Qaeda, that their headquarters are in this part of the world. But we're not fighting a nation. So the whole issue of prisoners of war and what do you do and how do you handle it, this is new territory for the diplomats and for the soldiers as well. So apparently now it has been announced that there has been an exchange, Bergdahl's release, in exchange for five high-ranking terrorist leaders that were being held at Gitmo. Bergdahl's been picked up in Afghanistan near the border of Pakistan, I believe, and is undergoing debriefing, medical treatment, etc. And the five terrorist criminals have been released back into the wild.
No, that's not true. They have not been released back into the wild. They have been released to the country of Qatar, which is one of our allies in the Middle East, and they will be monitored by the authorities in Qatar. They will not be allowed to go back to Afghanistan or rejoin their tribes wherever their tribes are.
They're not going to stick around in Qatar.
Well, I guess that remains to be seen, doesn't it?
I mean, if...
We have bases in Qatar. We have forces in Qatar. We'll be keeping an eye on them.
Listen,
I would imagine.
No, that makes no sense. What do we put an ankle tag on them? We put a tracking device on them.
Look, I'm having problems with this because I understand the whole don't negotiate with terrorists idea. I do. The guys that we released, we have held for quite some time. I would imagine we have wrung every piece of useful information out of them that we can, because
right,
what they know now after being in Gitmo for the last, 10 years, some of them? 9 years, some of them?
Yeah.
They probably don't have a whole lot of useful intel at this point in time.
They still know how to detonate an explosive vest and blow up themselves and other people. They still hate America. They still want death to America. So why should we release them?
So you are suggesting that, and we made trades like this during the Cold War many times. There's precedence for this. The question is, do we want to do it? And what does it mean for the future, I guess, is the argument that's going to go forward.
So, and that will lead to a discussion that we'll have in just a minute. I don't believe that the individuals that were released from Gitmo were done just so that we could take them and transfer them into Qatar and allow them to be prisoners of sorts in Qatar. I don't believe that. I don't believe that makes any sense. Why would a Taliban leader say, okay, we're going to release the last American POW, the one of the biggest bargaining chips we have, for you to transfer from one detainment to another detainment of the five people we want back.
I'm not saying they're going to be imprisoned in Qatar, but obviously being in a country of in the Middle East, living in a house has got to be better than living at Gitmo.
I don't want it to be better for these sacks of crap.
If it means getting our soldier home who is in danger of dying in a very short time if we didn't do something?
We're going to talk about that. I don't believe that was the case either.
Okay. So you believe that the Secretary of Defense is lying about that?
The White House administration lying to us about a circumstance?
Brother.
No, I'm sorry. I can't believe that. Now you're taking it too far, Tom. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
This is Ed from Amherst.
Hey, Ed from Amherst. How you doing, my friend?
I'm really pretty good, but I'm pretty upset.
Okay.
You know what happened to soldiers that turned their back and ran away in World War II?
Well, I know what happened in Vietnam. My brother was witness to a guy got shot by one of his commanding officers. The guy ran from a foxhole, and his commanding officer shot him in the back.
Okay. In Vietnam, if our guys ran away, they got court-martialed and sent. You hear the news. I probably won't be on all the stations, but this guy walked away.
Well, according to one guy,
there's going to be more than one.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. We don't know exactly what happened, and if in fact that is the case, that certainly adds a different twist to all the things that are going on. Mm. But we've got one guy right now who's been on CNN saying that he's a traitor, he's a deserter, and he should be court-martialed.
Right. Okay, that's one. But now there's four more coming. You know, there's as many guys that seen that as they seen John Kerry in his Vietnam heroic.
Got it.
Jeez. This guy walked away. I'm sorry.
There are many people who believe he did walk away. Thanks for calling, Ben. I appreciate it.
Ed, you have no idea if the guy walked away or what the circumstances were. The only people who know that are the people who were there.
All right, Ed, I'm going to
believe the soldier. I'm not going to believe my president, my commander-in-chief.
And there's a precedent for that. And I'm going to let you go so that we can continue on with the conversation. There's a precedent for not believing the commander-in-chief. He's made that very clear. There are several reports of what happened to him, why he got separated from the people that were around him, and why he ended up being captured. We'll get into that in just a minute. But the point we were making before we took the call is... The issue is that we have made an exchange, which means we have violated a tenet. Now, it's not a law, but this is a policy that was put forth that we do not negotiate with terrorists. Negotiating for the release of prisoners from a state, from Russia, from China, from other countries that... Okay, our spy got pulled over. We nailed one of their spies. Okay, these are nations that we are in diplomatic relations with, and we're trying to work things out. Like we've said, the State Department and diplomacy is a very odd relationship. I understand prisoner exchanges and in the intelligence community. I got it. But we're not dealing, again, we are not dealing with a nation that we want to have diplomatic relations with. We are dealing with a group of religious radical ideologues that are hell-bent in destroying us, Israel, and anyone else who does not believe the way they believe. So you do not negotiate with terrorists. However, we just did. We just opened up the dialogue and negotiated with terrorists, which now gives them the idea, we take prisoners, we take hostages, we can negotiate and get what we want. You know, they're leaving in 2016 anyway, so let's see what we can do. It emboldens our enemy. Oh, that's
correct me if I'm wrong.
Strategy that's been going on for a while.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The Israelis have traded prisoners of war with the Palestinians a number of times over the years.
Again, these are states that are trying.
Palestine's not a state.
These are states that are trying to work out living in the same neighborhood.
I don't disagree that this is a weird situation and that this is maybe a unique situation.
All right, let's take our break, and when we come back, let's talk about how did this Bergdahl fella end up in the hands of the Al Qaeda? How is it that he got separated? We'll talk about the various reports and what happened. And our caller brought up a very good point. Is this a hero that we should be fighting for, or is it a traitor that we should just say, good riddance? Let's talk about that when we get back. WSAU, this is Feedback, 715-845-2155.
The news, talk, and Rush Station. News Talk 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback, 715-845-2155. Okay, this Bo Bergdahl. The history of this individual and how he got to be a soldier in Afghanistan is very interesting. From the New York Post, from interviews with his family, from a variety of sources, it turns out that this guy was kind of a bit of a wanderer, you know, looking for purpose, looking for the right thing to be doing in his life. You know, we all go through it, right? We all go through it. Well, according to the New York Post, one of the things that he decided he wanted to do was join the French Foreign Legion. They rejected him. So after that, he wandered around for a while and then ended up joining the military and going to Afghanistan. Now, his parents are saying that one of the reasons he went is because of his internal desire to help other people. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the French Foreign Legion, their first and foremost desire and their purpose is to help other people? No. The French Foreign Legion is a group of very hardcore basic mercenaries that will fight for anyone as long as the money's right and the cause is right. So if your desire is to go and help the poor and the unfortunate, he wanted to go to Africa and help the poor and the unfortunate there. Didn't. So he decided to join the military to go to Afghanistan to help the people? Correct me if I'm wrong, but the recruiter is pretty clear when you go in to the military office and you're going to be a ground pounder. It's pretty clear you're not going there to rebuild schools, pave roads, and put in water. You're going there to kill people and break things. I don't mean to be rude and disrespectful for all of the wonderful people in our country, men and women that have served in the military, but the purpose of the military, your job number one is defense of our country. You go find the enemy, and you kill the enemy, and you destroy their infrastructure. That's the job of the military. You want to rebuild things, you call the Peace Corps. So if Bo Bergdahl, if his real desire was to help people, why is it that he wanted to be in the Foreign Legion? Why is it that he joined the military? I don't find that those two pieces of the puzzle fit together very well. I don't. The other thing that concerns me about his family are these statements that his father has made. A retracted tweet on Twitter said basically he's still fighting to get the rest of the detainees released from Gitmo. What this tells me, and this is my opinion, this is my take on things, what this tells me is the family are ideologically ignorant of world facts. Do they want to help the poor? Do they want to help those that are hurting? Yeah, probably so. But do they have an accurate viewpoint on what's going on in that part of the world? No, they don't. The individuals at Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay, our facility in Cuba, these aren't poor, mistaken, unfortunate souls that got caught up and they really weren't doing anything wrong. No. These are hardcore individuals that hate America and want you and I to be dead in the most horrible way possible.
Most are. There are some that got caught up in the net that have been sitting there at Gitmo for...
Then let them roll over on their compatriots and get out. But that's not the way it works.
The more I read about this guy, the more there are going to be serious questions. There was an article done or a story done in Rolling Stone back in 2012 that talked not only to the soldiers that served with him, but also to his parents who shared emails.
Yeah, I was getting ready to there. No, go ahead. Go ahead. That's perfect.
And one of the emails is pretty telling. It sounds like a guy who just got fed up with what he believed we were doing in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And decided that he'd had enough. An email that he sent to his parents from Afghanistan, quote, "The U.S. Army is the biggest joke the world has to laugh at. It is the army of liars, backstabbers, fools, and bullies. The few good sergeants are getting out as soon as they can, and they are telling us privates to do the same." Quoting now, "I am sorry for everything here. These people need help, yet what they get is the most conceited country in the world telling them that they are nothing and that they are stupid and that they have no idea how to live." Unquote.
Mm-hmm. So if your desire is to help these poor people that are struggling, you don't do that by joining the military. That makes no sense whatsoever. He goes on to say, "I'm ashamed to be an American, and the title of U.S. soldier is just the lie of fools. I'm sorry for everything. The horror that is America is disgusting." So why do, and men and women of the military, you're going to have to help me wrap my brain around this, because I believe this is where the corps esprit comes from, and this is the whole philosophy of no man left behind. But if you have an individual who is calling the rest of his group of soldiers disgusting, liars, backstabbers, and he is ashamed of being an American, why are you risking your life to go in and rescue him? It sounds to me as if this individual thought that the people of Afghanistan were poor and they were hurting and they were war-torn, and they are. But he goes over in the military, maybe he thought that's the only way he could get there, in order to help them. And he finds, no, son, your job is to hunt the enemy and to kill them. This whole, I want to hold them and coddle them, we're not going to put up with that crap. Here's a gun. You put lead between his eyes. That's your job. He found it repugnant, and he decided to walk away from it.
Maybe not killing the enemy found repugnant, but maybe all of the collateral damage that we're seeing in Afghanistan.
Yeah, war sucks, gotcha. Tom. That's just the way it is. And I believe
war sucks in many ways, but it can suck in less.
I believe he was captured by the Taliban and was expecting to be welcomed with open arms. "Oh, comrade, thanks for coming and helping us." And what they said and what they did to him is, "You worthless, disgusting American. I don't care what your intentions are. We hate you, and we're going to do everything we can to make your life a living hell." That's the reality of what's going on over there. And I think he came face to face with it. We're going to talk a little bit more about what must have happened to this guy while he's there. There is talk that he doesn't speak English anymore. After 5 years of captivity, he speaks Pashtun. Really? 5 years. WSAU Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be back after this.
Get breaking news from the WSAU newsroom straight to your cell phone. Text NEWS to 39327, and you'll always be up to date. From AM 550, FM 99.9, and WSAU.com.